You may be seated. The psalmist David said in Psalm 33:15, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, some people wonder if God blesses nations as groups of people, or does God bless individuals in those nations that turns out to be a blessing for the entire nation? And I believe both are true. I believe that God had a specific purpose and plan and design for the United States of America in these days, in this course of history, this time in which we dwell, which we inhabit. I believe God has a distinct purpose for this nation. And I believe that God is not finished with this nation. With all of our problems and all of our struggles and all of our just mind-boggling difficulties, I believe that throughout this nation there are churches just like this one where people are gathering last Sunday and this Sunday who are humbly thanking God for the divine hand of providence in raising up a people who would say that we are all endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And among those are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. I believe that God had a purpose and plan in the Reformation revealing the inadequacies and the abuse of the religious systems of Europe, in the Enlightenment where the feudal system was exposed as being that which was harmful to the people. And through those two great movements, God began to develop an unrest in Europe where people would look for a new place to live, where they could order a new government, where you were not ordered by the state to be a member of a certain church, but that every individual would have the freedom to choose where and how they worshiped God. And so those founding fathers, their beliefs were forged in the fires of the failures of Europe. And they came here looking for something better. They came here not looking for gold, but looking for God. They came here looking for a place where they could raise their family without fear of oppression, without state-imposed church taxes, where they could choose how, when, and where they would worship. And they came here, and God moved, and God directed, and God guided. And truly, the United States of America became a place where the psalmist David's words apply directly. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. For those founding fathers wrote into our documents, our foundational documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, and the Bill of Rights, that we were a country who had a firm belief in our Creator. That they would establish a place where the church could influence the government at will, but that the government could not control the church. And so everything was different in the United States of America. And these people believed it. Those signers of the Declaration of Independence so believed what they were doing that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they gave it all. Their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, that we might be the United States of America. When George Washington kissed Martha, he said, I'll be back in just a few months. He didn't know that it would be 11 years later. And oh, how the Lord protected George Washington. As he knelt in the snows of Valley Forge, as he crossed the Potomac, as he was many times shot at, almost at point-blank range, and God protected him over and over and over again. And when the Constitutional Congress could not agree, Benjamin Franklin stood and said, "If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground, I do not, without God's notice, I do not think that a nation can rise without his help. I move that we adjourn for prayer." And for 3 days they fasted and they prayed. Hence was born the United States of America. What they wrote has survived from 1776 until today. From the Constitutional Convention until today. Our documents based upon God's word has led to one form of government where the power for government was given to the people. And those people had a responsibility to look to God for wisdom and for understanding, to know how to direct their government. France, based upon the humanistic writings of Rousseau and others, has had over 70 forms of government since the founding of the United States of America, giving credence to the fact that God's word gives a solid foundation to any individual, any family, any state, any church, any country that will stand upon the word of God. It is the rock that stands through the ages. So it is with the United States of America. When Catherine Lee Bates took a prairie wagon up Pikes Peak, and then when the wagon couldn't go any farther, she rode the mules up, and she was exhausted when she got there, but she looked over, and here's what she wrote. We sang it to start the service this morning. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. Let's read it together. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. See, God's a gracious God. Did you hear that? God is a gracious God. God is a God who longs to give grace and mercy and love to those who will accept it. If you harden your heart and you stiffen your neck, you cannot receive the grace of God. But if you will humble yourself, God's grace will be shed on you. And throughout the course of this history, there have been many, many people who have been willing to humble themselves and pray in this country. Presidents, senators, congressmen, governors, mayors, police officers, military leaders. I love that story of Patton. When he needed clear skies to be able to liberate Bastogne, to get the air power that they needed. And Patton, I hope I meet him in heaven someday. He had some rough edges, agreed? But I love it that even that man recognized the power of prayer. And he ordered the chaplain to write a prayer asking God to part the skies. And the chaplain said, "I'm not sure God works that way." And Patton said, "Well, do it anyway." Bastogne was liberated. One time in this church, we had someone who was trapped in Bastogne, and we had one of Patton's tank members who liberated that guy. I used to like to talk to them about those days. Don't you love this country? We've been so blessed. One of our war heroes said in World War II, "We're surrounded again. I feel sorry for those guys." We're surrounded again. I feel sorry for those guys. You know, this is the only country on the face of the earth that has ever conquered nations and empires and then go back in and rebuilt them. Have you seen the new Volkswagen bus that's coming out? You seen it? It looks like the old hippie van you people used to ride around in. You old hippies can buy one. And this will have a good automatic transmission and no more four in the floor. I never could get that thing over into reverse, could you? And a power steering. And Volkswagen is here only by the generosity of the American people. That was Germany's industry. We could have conquered. We could have crushed. We could have occupied. Instead, we go back in and rebuild. Why do we do that? Because that's a reflection of the grace of God on this country. It's not because we're smarter than anybody else. It's not because we're wiser than anybody else. It's just the reflection of the grace of God. We know we are recipients of God's grace. So we go in and help our enemies. And we rebuild. God is a gracious God. It's proven in Luke 23:43. You believe in deathbed confessions? I've heard people say, I don't believe in jailhouse confessions. I don't believe in deathbed confessions. I don't believe in battlefield confessions. I don't believe in foxhole confessions. Well, don't tell that to the thief on the cross. If there ever was a foxhole confession, a deathbed confession, it was the guy next to Jesus on the cross, right? And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And our gracious God said, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's the grace of God. You know some hard cases? Last week we had people line up over here. And these were people who lined up over here as a testimony that they had relatives and friends they had prayed for years, and they were hard cases. And they saw God break through, and they were saved, and their lives were changed. And I encourage you to go and talk to them and pray with them if you had someone like that in your life. And who hasn't had someone like that in your family? Had a rebel in your family? Somebody just not going to listen to what anybody says, including God? Well, let me tell you something. God can break through. I've seen it. I believe it. Don't you quit praying. Let's read this scripture together. God heals the brokenhearted. Back to the next scripture, Rick. Here we go. Let's read it. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He is a gracious God. Let God transform you into a new church person by changing the way you think. We need to become grace thinkers. Grace thinkers. Now, if you want to pray a specific prayer for the leaders of our country today, pray that they will become grace thinkers. We are saved by grace. We are forgiven by grace. We are sustained by grace. We are healed by grace. We are liberated by grace. We are given talents by grace. We are used by grace. We're kept saved by grace. We're transformed by grace. We are matured by grace. Grace is that pipeline from heaven. It is that conduit from heaven whereby we receive the blessings of God. America, America, God shed His grace on thee. Wow, so true. How is grace made effective in my life as an individual? You see, I made a statement the other day. And I really believe this to be true. I believe it's very hard for any person in a congregation to rise above the spiritual level of the overall church body. And that's why we need to all do our part to be people who love God, hear God, walk with God, obey God, communicate with God. We need to be people who are always praying that the spiritual understanding, what, you know, today I just sensed again, as we do every Sunday, and please, I look out across the White River Valley from my office at my house down in Cotter. I'm one of those people. Cotterites, we're called. And I reflect, and boy, I just see so many days I'll see a bald eagle fly over or a deer run out with her fawn or just the wildlife and the beautiful scenery. And you know what our problem is? We begin to take it for granted. When you start taking it for granted, drive to Dallas and get in a traffic jam and then come home. And you won't complain about the traffic on Highway 62 next week. Oh, the traffic on Highway 62 is terrible. No. So, but we take it for granted, don't we? We got to stir our heart up. We got to say, God, praise your holy name. I took my 5-year-old granddaughter fishing down at the Big Spring in Cotter, because if you're 16 or under, you can fish out of the Big Spring for trout. I took her down there this week, Julia, and we hooked a trout, and I gave her the rod and reel, Gary, and she was reeling it in, and she's 5 years old, and she was reeling it in. And she said, Pops, he's fighting, but I'm winning. He's fighting, but I'm winning. I love that. We don't need to take all of this for granted. And my friend, we don't need to take the grace of God on this country for granted. And we need to pray for our leaders that they will become grace thinkers. And if we can't rise above the spiritual level of our church, so let's not take it for granted that when we walk in every Sunday, God's going to meet with us. And it's not the responsibility of the worship leaders to bring God and to bring us focused on God. It's all of our responsibilities to prepare our heart before we get here, that our heart will be prepared. And could we see this, look, just talking to you for a minute, could we see this place become so spiritually attuned that miracles are commonplace, that those hard cases, there are breakthroughs, that God does things that only God can do, and we give him all the glory and the credit for it? How is grace made effective in my life? Number one, by trusting in Jesus Christ. First of all, you need to know that you're saved. The Bible says, examine yourself, prove yourself, and know whether you be in the faith or not. W.A. Criswell told me, I'll be happy when I get to heaven. Pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, he said that 50% of my people made it there. What? Look, I want every last one of you there. I want every last one of you to go to heaven. And if you're trusting in anything other than the shed blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can't go to heaven. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. Paul told the Corinthians, examine yourself, prove yourself, and know whether you be in the faith or not. Then we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends of God. You are familiar with the generosity of Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us in one stroke. He became poor and we became rich. And Kim, you talked about how that Baptists are non-expressive. Let me tell you about it. If a Baptist goes to a Razorback football game, they're expressive. Ooh, pig, suey. Is that not sort of irrational? I mean, I do it. I do it at home by myself and for other TV. Pig, suey, Razorbacks. I come to church and like, I don't condone pew jumping because somebody will hurt your back. But I do think we need to get excited about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And I thank God for that, that we're excited about it. You know why? Because He has been generous to us. And hallelujah means praise the Lord. Let's say it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we beg you, do not let the grace that you receive from God be for nothing. How do I make grace effective in my life? By making my life count. Don't you see you can't keep on living however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? So let people see God in and through your body. That's strong, isn't it? By becoming a generous person, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Wow. I don't know who put the $60 in the nurse's Bible, but God bless you. Coach Hughes, by the way, is preaching a funeral service right now at Roller Funeral Home for a Marine. He got called at the last minute. He had his T-shirt on. He's over there preaching with a Free Indeed T-shirt on right now. A funeral for a Marine. Several Marines were going to be there. And whatever gift we have, if it's to go over there in a T-shirt and give the gospel and try to comfort a family, if it's to bring the preacher a rum cake, I probably should have told that story. Can we delete that story? Kay Pepper, we will celebrate her life here this week. You know what gift Kay had? You know what gift she had? Hospitality. She just loved to get people together more than anything in this world. She would be dead dog tired and invite 8 or 10 people over to her house and whip something up and cook it and serve it to them. That was her gift. What gift do you have? What gift do you have? You have a gift. How does grace become effective in my life? See, we always need to look for opportunities to share the good news of God's grace with people. Oh, we were out yesterday, and it took Julia over, Jim and Sandy, to meet Ron and Stacy out at Buzzard's Roost. Isn't that a bad name for a place, Buzzard's Roost? But anyway, it is what it is. So we took her out there, and Annette wanted to see her bicycle. She's in the car with me. So we ran through a window. I was driving my old Durango. My Durango has 211,000 miles on it. It's part of the family. I can't get rid of it. I tried to trade it off one day, Pete, and I think they gave me like $300 or $400 for it in a trade-in. And I told them, look, every time I fill this car up with gas, Gary, it doubles its value. I just can't get rid of it. Air conditioner works good, no heater, but who cares? I mean, you know, air conditioner works good. So we were in the Durango. We were parked down at Buzzard Roost, and it was hot, and it started overheating. So I told Ned, what are we going to do? We need to get something to eat. She said, well, let's run through a drive-thru window. I ran through the drive-thru window. It was overheating. So I didn't stop at the sign. I just drove right up to the window. And I turned it off. And she said, you didn't order at the window. I said, I know, my car's overheating. And she said, his car's overheating. That's why he didn't stop at the window. And so we placed our order. And she said, why don't you just move on? She said, wait a minute. Just stay right here in the shade. We'll get that out to you. This little girl working there at the... So I took a $10 bill, and after we got our food, I said, can I give you this? She said, why? I said, because you've been so nice to us. I said, God bless you for being nice to us. You know, In every way, we need to look for opportunities to connect our life, what we do, what we say, to God. And we look for ways to share the good news of God's grace. She thought, it's like I'd given her a $100 bill. She couldn't believe it. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. Okay. You know what? When I was a young preacher, I believed it wasn't spiritual to let people out before noon. We'd have services that would go to 12:10, 12:15, 12:20, 12:30. The mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. The older I get, the more I realize that there's nothing spiritual about keeping people in church for a long time. But I'll tell you something else we have done for years. We've given an invitation where people would stand down here, and we're going to always do that, by the way. We're going to always give an altar call in this church. Always. I remember when Annette went out and gave her testimony out in Pampa, Texas, at a church. And she told how she got saved, and she gave an altar call. And there were like 23 people that got saved that day, including the music director. They just came and they got saved. And then after the church service, said, that's the first altar call we've had here in at least 20 years. So we're going to always give people a chance to be saved. We open our prayer rooms over here, and prayer people that are willing to pray with you stayed on the close of the service. We're going to do that again today. But you know what I want to do today to close this service? I want you, this is radical, this is extreme, this is different, this is unusual, this is going to be uncomfortable for some of you, okay? But I want to ask you, to ask the people that are sitting around you, have you been saved? You see, there was a great revival in Shantung, China, in the late 1920s, right before the communists took over. And that revival started with a missionary, a woman. Everyone she met, she just pastors, music leaders, choir members, Sunday school teachers. She just asked the question, are you saved? That started the revival that led to the great underground church after the communists took over. I just want you to ask people around you, are you saved? Now, some people smile and they'll say, I sure am. Some people say, I'm not sure. And some people will maybe be uncomfortable. But in a spirit of love, you know why everybody's in this building today? You're here because you're looking for God. You would not have come here if you were not looking for God. You're not here for social impressions. You're not here to somehow improve your standing in the community. You're here looking for God. That's why you're here. So would you take just a few minutes and would you just look at the person next to you, in front of you, behind you? And you can ask three or four people. That's okay. Are you saved? And then, what can I pray with you about? We're going to lift the spiritual level of this church right now. What can I pray with you about? So rather than having an invitation where some few might come forward, let's all respond right now. What can I pray with you about? Okay? Have you been saved? What can I pray with you about? Do that right now. Do that right now. Okay? Turn to one another and do that right now.